Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, where we do our best to help leaders go further, faster.
Well, Andy, I am really excited about today's podcast. We talked a little bit about this topic a couple of years ago, but recently I heard you teach an entire session on it. And as usual, the more you think about something, the richer the insights get. So today we'll start a two-part conversation on the importance of uniquely better.
Yeah, Lane, as we talked about several episodes ago on the podcast, when we hit year 20, which was 2 years ago, actually this month, we did some evaluating and we asked the question, as we've talked about, we asked the question, if we had it to do all over again, what would we do all over again? And that discussion led to some great insights that we've talked about, but it also led to this question. Why did our organization grow so fast in the beginning? Because 22 years ago, we couldn't keep up. We changed our budgets every 4 to 6 months for a couple of years. We had people all over the place. We couldn't hire fast enough. And so, you know, a couple of years ago when we were doing this evaluation, we asked the question, what was going on then that clearly is not going on now? And we're growing, but we're growing incrementally.
Right.
Back then, we grew explosively. So we asked the question that a lot of entrepreneurs ask and a lot of startups ask years later, hey, is there any way to recapture that momentum? Is there any way to recapture that excitement? So that discussion led to the insights that we're going to talk about this month and next month.
And the answer to what was going on then that's not going on now is we had a uniquely better product.
Yeah. Nobody was doing what we were doing in Atlanta or even really in the Southeast United States. It was controversial. People came just to make fun of it. People came to criticize it. A generation of people that had mostly left the church suddenly were coming back to the church. Their parents came. Their grandparents came. And so, again, it was uniquely better. If you wanted what we were offering, you had to come to us because we were the only organization in, you know, this part of the country really offering what we were offering.
So yeah, if you have the only hot dog stand in town,
right.
You don't even have to have a good hot dog.
Yeah, we didn't know if our hot dogs were good. We didn't know if our hot dogs were any good. We were just the only ones serving hot dogs. So
let's break down what you mean by uniquely better. Start with unique.
Yeah, well, we had, in our case, we had a uniquely better product. And our particular product was we had church environments that were attractive, engaging, almost irresistible, especially for men. So we had a uniquely better product. And uniquely better can be a product, but uniquely better can just be anything that's uniquely better. When we say unique, we mean that people know what it is, but wow, that's a unique one. So in our case, people knew what a church was. It wasn't like somebody was having to explain what a church is. Oh, yeah, we know what a church is. Oh, but that's a unique church. It's not like the other churches, you know, that we've attended. But simply having something that's unique doesn't necessarily make it better. So it needs to be uniquely better. And in our case, we were fortunate enough to have a uniquely better product. That is, it did what it was supposed to do, but it did it better than the competition. Whenever I talk about this with leaders, I always use this same illustration because it's so familiar to so many people. But years and years ago, this 20-something-year-old kid came to our house. His mom asked us if he could come, and he was selling Cutco knives. And we said, sure, and we let him in. And I remember thinking, we're not going to buy any knives. We have two drawers full of knives. We do not need knives. And then he started cutting things with those knives that knives aren't supposed to cut. And then when he pulled out the scissors and cut the edge off a penny, I was like, okay, I'm sold. Now, it was uniquely better. Nobody had to explain to me, you know, what's a knife. But this was a unique set of knives, and they were better than our knives. So, of course, we shelled out several hundred dollars that we didn't really have at the time to buy uniquely better knives. And so that's what uniquely better is. People know what it is, but it's better than the competition.
So that was then, this is now, we're really not that unique anymore.
No, in fact, a lot of churches are doing exactly what we're doing. In some cases, they're doing it better. They're doing it differently. There are just not the rules there used to be. And so when people plant churches in the areas where we have churches, they look a lot like ours and ours look a lot like theirs. And nobody takes credit. It's just the world has changed. When you go on Instagram and people are making comments about their church, you just don't see choirs, you don't see handbells, you don't see pulpits, you don't see suits. It all looks like a concert. When people post pictures of their church, they rarely post a picture of the speaker. They always post pictures of the musicians. So again, it all sort of looks the same. But again, back in the day, it was unique. And of course, we thought it was better, and apparently a lot of other people did as well. But again, those days have come and gone. So that brings us to the challenge that every leader finds himself wrestling with, and that's this. Is there a way to recapture or recreate uniquely better? Or is it just, you know, put it down in the history books and think about the glory days and go on to whatever's next? Well, we weren't satisfied with the, well, you know, weren't we fortunate? Weren't we lucky? Didn't we just, you know, hit gold at the right time? We thought, no, there were principles, there were things going on that could probably be either recreated, manufactured, or perhaps discovered in some other arena. And so, again, we spent a lot of time asking that question, what is uniquely better? And is it something you can create, discover? How do you leverage the energy that goes with a uniquely better product?
And yeah, I can hear some of our listeners possibly thinking, hey, thanks for the history lesson. How does this help me?
Well, our discussion led us to several observations, and one is something that perhaps we all know, but every once in a while we need to be reminded, and that's this. Somebody somewhere is messing with the rules to the prevailing model, that regardless of what industry you're in, regardless of what business you're in, regardless of your approach to business, and regardless of how successful you are or how innovative you've been in the past or how innovative people have considered you to be in the past, right now, in this moment, somebody somewhere in your industry, in your business is messing with the rules to the prevailing model. And every industry has a prevailing model. This is how we do it here. This is how you sell real estate. This is how you manufacture, whatever it might be. This is how you mass produce. Whatever your industry is, there's basically a prevailing model. So every industry has a set of shared assumptions, and those assumptions fuel the prevailing view or the prevailing model, which means, and this is the disconcerting part, which means every single industry is stuck. Now, not necessarily broken, but stuck because there's a prevailing model. Our assumptions support that model. So we do things the way they've always been done. We're over time making things better. We make tweaks. We look for ways to innovate. But there's basically a prevailing model that drives whatever it is we're doing. Somebody somewhere in every industry, somebody somewhere is challenging those assumptions. And consequently, they're messing with the rules. They're messing with the model. In fact, somebody somewhere is pioneering some new approaches. We just don't know who they are. We don't know where they are, and we don't know where their new approaches will lead. But it gets even worse. It's possible that somebody has already created a uniquely better product or a uniquely better approach, and we just don't know about it yet. So here we are with our prevailing model. We're doing well. We're successful. You know, everybody in our industry looks at us and thinks we're successful. Everybody listening today, hopefully you're working in an organization or selling a product that's considered successful. But somebody somewhere perhaps has already figured out a better way to do what you are doing. And their approach will be considered unique. And if it's considered better, look out, because they will be your number one competition down the road.
Andy, when I heard you talk more in depth about this topic, you said something that was amazing. You said, discovering uniquely better is virtually impossible.
Yeah, it's virtually impossible. So again, you listen to this podcast or you think about this idea and you think, oh, good, I'm going to get our team together. And, you know, we'll just figure out what's uniquely better and just go do that. And that's not how it works,
right.
Or it would have already been done. The takeaway for these two discussions, spoiler alert, is not, hey, here's five ways to run out and figure out what is uniquely better. Because you're right, discovering, you know, for an organization on its own to discover or trip over or find uniquely better, that really is almost impossible. But recognizing uniquely better is not impossible. In fact, recognizing uniquely better is what every organization should be in the business of doing. So the good news is we don't have to discover it. We don't have to trip over it. We don't have to create it. But when we recognize that somebody else has messed with the rules and has found a uniquely better way to do what we're doing, we need to pay attention. And our organizations need to be nimble enough to where we can turn on a dime and embrace the uniquely better approach.
Well, Andy, as simple as that sounds, for existing organizations, that is difficult.
It's really difficult. And here's why. And this is so important. And I'm not even sure I know how to express this clearly, but I'll take a shot at it. Uniquely better is often the byproduct or the result. That uniquely better is often the byproduct or the result of circumstances that successful organizations are trying to avoid. Here's an example most of us are familiar with. Kodak wanted people not to stop using film. Well, digital was uniquely better. But as I said, uniquely better is often the byproduct of circumstances successful organizations are trying to avoid. So Kodak is trying to avoid an alternative to film.
Right.
An alternative to film comes along. It's what they're trying to avoid, and it is the uniquely better approach. Here's another example. Sony, years ago, wanted people not to stop using disk. I mean, they were the disk manufacturer. Mm. They owned just about all of that real estate. So their goal is for people not to stop using disk. So when a uniquely better way of portable music came along, not only were they not quick to embrace it, it was the very thing they didn't want people to embrace. So uniquely better is often so unique that successful organizations can't imagine that it's actually better because it stands in such contrast to what they do, what they're known for, and, you know, basically how they've created income streams. And Lane, the other problem with uniquely better is this. It is always, always, always disruptive. But here's the thing. Disruptive ideas are only disruptive to existing organizations. Disruptive ideas are never disruptive to startups. Why? Because when a company starts up around an idea, it's not disruptive. It is the idea. So once again, you know, you have successful organizations doing incredible, incredible things. Here comes this new idea. It's so disruptive, there's just no way to integrate it into the current assumptions, into the current business model. Meanwhile, you know, six guys, you know, who just finished college get together in the garage, and it's not a disruptive idea to them. It is the idea. So one of the takeaways from this discussion is that every organization, regardless of how old it is, regardless of how large it is, every organization should try to maintain a startup mindset. Otherwise, we're going to how much good ideas right out the door.
So Andy Kodak and others are examples of people who haven't done this. Any stories out there of someone who's embraced this?
Yeah, one that we're all familiar with, which is Netflix. I mean, you think about, you know, if you go back to Blockbuster, brick and mortar stores, go in there and check out a video. Netflix comes along and says, we're going to mail them to you. Yeah. Well, here's what both Blockbuster and Netflix did not want to happen. Remember earlier I said that uniquely better is often the byproduct of circumstances successful organizations are trying to avoid. Well, Blockbuster and Netflix, what they wanted to avoid was people being able to get movies streamed into their homes. I mean, that will be the death of both of them. Mm. Nobody's going to come to my store and, you know, rent a video, and nobody's going to mail in disc to get more disc. Well, one of those organizations essentially stuck with their business model, and they essentially went out of business. Mm. Netflix put their business model out of business. Mm. The thing that they introduced to us, you know, mailing in disc, they don't do that anymore. So Netflix is a company that was able to recognize rather than resist uniquely better and then make the changes necessary to fully embrace it and to walk away from the business model that put them on the map.
Andy, next month, we're going to come back and talk about four organizational habits that you've identified to help leaders identify and embrace uniquely better. As we wrap up today, what would you tell our listeners to do in light of what we've talked about today?
Yeah, that's a great question, Lane. I think our best hope, because again, it's virtually impossible to discover uniquely better, but I think our best hope, in fact, I would say our responsibility as leaders is to create organizational cultures that are positioned to recognize rather than resist uniquely better. Mm. None of us want to resist it. We all want to recognize it. And the folks who recognize it first, the early adopters of Uniquely Better generally benefit from Uniquely Better, even if they weren't the ones to create it or discover it first.
Andy, thanks so much for today. And to all of our listeners, we want to thank you for joining us. Don't forget to check out the andystanley.com website, where you can find the leadership application guide to go with today's podcast.